It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Well, this is getting weird quick.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
We're going to try to hold it down. Clint is out today, and Brandon Scott, he is in. And let's do a little Dirty's Daily, try to hold it down for him. Hey, by the way, tomorrow is a little Thirsty Thursday action. That means we are out on the town and we're out and about, and you can come out and hang with us tomorrow as we will be, one of my favorite spots right off Tomball Parkway over there by the mall over there. Willowbrook.
Yeah, man.
I call it Middlebrook. Mall. Willowbrook. Willowbrook Plaza. Come hang out with us Thirsty Thursday. Always a good time out there. We'll be enjoying ourselves 2 to 6. Generally, we have great prizes for you, including many things from our friends from Bud Light. So come on out and hang out with us as well. So it'll be a good time Thursday tomorrow. 2 to 6. Put your name in the raffle boxes. Give yourself a chance to win here as we always have a good time on Thirsty Thursday. B Scott, I am really over this. I think a lot of Texans fans are over this. We get this often. Like, I'm at a loss of words. I think it is ridiculous that we have no kind of clarity at all on Christian Harris.
Zero, actually. The only thing that is clear about Christian Harris is that he ain't played and that there is no foreseeable timeline for when he will play. The only thing that's clear is the lack of clarity.
Clearly they don't have a need to say anything because they won't, and there's obviously they're not forced to. And D'Amico said, y'all asking me every week about that. That was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now it's just done. He ain't got it. Like, this, it feels like the guy's going to be out for the year. That's what it feels like, but nobody knows what the problem is. Honest to God, I think it's a calf.
It's a calf.
That's the last thing we've heard, right? It's a calf. Do you know what kind of injury this is? It can't be no damn strained calf for 4+ months. Like, is this an Achilles? It is wild to me that we've got no understanding of any idea of what this. This is one of their best players defensively, and it's just like Christian Harris. Does anybody? Maybe this is completely wrong to me. I think we have reached a point where the fan base and people around, we should know what the hell, like some kind of an update.
Oh, my God.
Some kind of an update on what the injury is.
And let me tell you the problem.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like this is ridiculous.
Well, aside from just transparency and open communication and appreciation for that, aside from that, here's where the problem comes up with not having that clarity, with not getting that information that you're talking about. folks get to just make stuff up. You get to start letting your imagination run wild. And maybe not the media, not people who are paid to be responsible about it, but fans certainly get to just start making stuff up. Whatever your theory is, whatever your conspiracy theory is on exactly what's going on with Christian Harris, why not? Why not think it? Because it's not like anybody's done anything to quell the concern or to die down whatever the chatter is. So, yeah, when you fail to communicate openly, honestly, and transparently and clearly, you allow it to muddy the waters. There is no clear messaging on it. And so whatever you think is going on with Christian Harris, you get to allow yourself to think it, because they're not straightening the record for you. Is it a strain? Is it a tear? Is it an Achilles? Is it really calf?
There's not a 4-month strain, is there?
No, Ron.
Okay, I want to make sure. I'm not a medical guy. You've been out there covering it, and Tyler, has he practiced?
No.
No. He went to that one practice where he re-entered it, and he was just running.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't in pads. It was like a Saturday practice.
And then he vanished again.
And we have not seen him out
there. Yeah, because he hurt himself. He re-aggravated. He was hurt.
And we never saw him.
And probably, like, the reality is, and I feel pretty comfortable saying this, he shouldn't have practiced that day. He wasn't ready.
Seems like it, yeah.
He wasn't ready.
I would think so.
Yeah, no, he wasn't ready. It wasn't just a matter of, you know, you hurt something, you hurt it again. Not necessarily a re-aggravation, just a double injury. It wasn't that. He wasn't ready. He shouldn't have practiced at that point. And I'm going to say this, man. Look, I wish that the Texans would just come out and say, Christian Harris has a torn calf, and we don't know what the timetable is for his return, but we are hopeful that it is sooner rather than later. That be the case, because I don't know. I'm not saying that he's got a torn calf.
Would that be fixable? I'm sorry.
I would hope that would have been announced, right? That they are going to fix it.
They're all fixable.
I just don't know what the reason would be to keep that information to yourself or to keep that as close to the vest as they've kept it.
HIPAA?
But I mean, think about it, man. It's so damn far down the road. Like, we're on their, this is their 10th game.
I thought he was going to miss 4 weeks.
No, as I always knew, I could tell that he was going to miss more than that. But I didn't.
I'm just talking about when they put him on IR, I thought, oh, he's going to miss 4 weeks.
Yeah, so.
All right, maybe five.
So, in the locker room and just being around, you start to get the sense that he wasn't coming back soon. But I figured by week 10, if he wasn't back, we at the very least would have an understanding for what his timetable was. Like, we'd see him maybe working off to the side. Y'all know how it is at practice, where the injured guys or the rehabilitating guys are off to a side field and not participating with the team. I figured maybe we'd see a little bit of that by now.
I haven't seen that either.
There's none of that.
Honest to God, Tyler, could you imagine that during that entire 3-month-plus odyssey of Kyle Tucker that Joe and Dana just never spoke about it?
Yeah, we at least got like a BS sentence here and there.
They just never spoke about it. Like, they just never said anything about it.
And then
I just kept on going.
We put him on milk cartons?
Oh, but not just that. Not just not saying anything about it, but getting a little bit indignant about the fact that somebody dare to ask about this player who last I saw and last I checked was really good.
And to the point that you've just made, Brandon, text line, are we sure Harris actually exists? Or is he still alive?
This one of those Mandela effect situations?
Seems like he's AI at this point.
We just made this linebacker up in our heads collectively. He just disappeared. It's like the Monopoly Man's monocle. You thought it was there all those years, and turns out it just wasn't.
I'll be honest with you. I respect the strategy. There's about 2 weeks I forgot.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I forgot. Again, I didn't even know Jerry Hughes went on IR. So missed that. But I mean, I've just completely forgot. Christian. He is one of the most important I mean, coming into the year, he was easily one of the top 10 most important players on this team.
Whew. Yeah. And look, it ain't no shame in having a season-ending injury. Like, you don't want it to happen. Oh, it's just... But what is the doggone secret is the part that I don't get. And they don't necessarily owe these answers about the injuries. It just doesn't make sense to withhold it.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to give the information, because, but what's the point in that?
Because even back in the year, you're always at those press conferences. By the way, 713-572-4610. Like, are you one that feels like the Texans? Let's go there. Are you one that feels like the Texans should be a little bit more forthcoming on what's happening with Christian Harris?
It feels
because I know some fans can get to a space of, hey, no, they just like someone texting, I just believe in D'Amico.
Oh, that's fine. So do I.
But do you believe that the Texans should be more forthcoming? I just don't remember them ever doing this. I feel like we got updates on Derek Stingley when he was injured.
Feels like Justin Britt.
Well, Justin Britt just went off on.
And I'm not saying this is anything like close to similar to that situation.
But it was one of those, hey, we'll let you know.
Yeah, and then they never let us know.
We looked up and it was 10 months later and we were like, where the hell's Justin Britt?
Somebody said they saw him at a gas station in Sugar Land or something.
Yeah, I did.
Albertson's
in Stafford.
It was you in Stafford. Yeah, you saw him. And I just, and it's even when they were talking about it, fellas, they were talking about it. It was so, yeah, we'll let you know when he's ready.
I mentioned this earlier.
Like, is it a calf issue? We'll let you know when he's ready.
So we all agree that it's ridiculous that the communication is as poor as it is on this injury. But I
could have gone and understood it for about 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, but to be 10 weeks into this thing, like, it's ridiculous.
Season. Yeah. Not to mention that he didn't practice during training camp.
Say for the one day when he re-aggravated the injury. But I will say, and this is not to give him an excuse. I'm just pointing this out. For me, the silence is deafening. Maybe this is a follow-up point to the one I was making earlier about, hey, if they don't communicate with you what's going on, you get to make up your own bleep on what's going on. You just make up some bleep, you know, in your mind, what's going on. But the silence is deafening. Like, I don't know if they scared or what. Like, what is there to even be afraid of with this information? But them not communicating clearly on this, to me, can only indicate that it ain't good.
No,
that's bad.
That's what you think.
The fact that we're 10 weeks into this thing and he ain't played, that in and of itself ain't good.
He has not practiced in pads yet this season.
What if I told you?
Like, not just the regular season, like OTAs, mandatory minicamp, training camp. He is not practicing pads yet.
We ain't even heard about his spirits. Remember when Stephon Diggs got hurt and he was in good spirits? Nico Collins gets hurt, he's in good spirit. When dudes get hurt and they think they're going to be back, and even when they're just going to give information, in Stephon Diggs' case, he's out for the season. He was at least in good spirits. Does anybody know
right now
what spirits Christian Harris is in? We ain't even got no reports on his spirits.
They get asked right now, and they shut it down as quick as possible.
Like, someone brought up a great point.
I asked.
Like, we're not having this issue with Christian McCaffrey. We know what
that man went to Germany and we found out about it.
Yes. We've got understanding of when he may come back, what the actual issue is. It's the damnedest thing. I didn't mean for it to be this long, but Steph Diggs tore his ACL.
People are trying to figure this out.
Steph Diggs tore his ACL and we immediately knew what the issue was. Clearly the issue is bad, but clearly it's not bad enough for them to say his season is over. So why won't they just say an update?
I do think there is a key difference, though, between the Christian Harris situation and the Steph Diggs situation. And hear me out on this. Stephon Diggs got hurt, non-contact, but on television. We all saw it. We were watching the game live, right? So we all saw that happen. Christian Harris's injury, and this is another thing that just has not been really talked about a lot because they just won't talk about it, but Christian Harris's injury happened in the offseason. This calf thing, I feel comfortable with this. Did not happen during camp, did not happen in a game.
He came in, you believe, with that.
Did not happen on the Texans watch, all right? It happened with him training on his own in the offseason, and he reports with this injury. Now, how much does that factor into how much they're willing to talk about it, how they feel about it.
That's actually a really good point.
I don't really know that part, but that is a difference.
Yeah.
The fact that this injury occurred, you know, most injuries we see him
point.
And we're like, okay, he got injured there. We'll never have that with Christian Harris because it happened off camera, off site.
That's your journalism mind working away. For us, man. Yeah,
so that could be a part of it.
No, it's a part. But I mean, I get you. There's got to be a time frame, though. I mean, this is June when this happened. We were about to eat turkey.
I got beans.
I mean, we about like tomatoes. We didn't go through Halloween. We're in the holiday season.
I'm already almost through my Halloween candy.
Santa Claus was on TV. Like, we're starting the Christmas movies.
Yeah.
But, and we ain't got no idea.
Yeah. What? My girl's doing already looking at Black Friday deals. It is wild.
Text line coming through. Yes, they actually do owe us an explanation on why Harris is out. We do buy the tickets and sports stuff that makes this team possible.
Fair enough.
You have that thought.
Yeah. Fine. But, yeah. But it makes it weird.
Text line said he's in whiskey spirits. Trying to find out what spirit.
Yeah, it does not make. And I do think one thing that's protected them, or I don't think protected is the right word, but one thing that's kind of shielded this conversation is the play of the linebackers. It's been pretty good. So I'm not going to say you haven't missed Christian Harris, but I think you've missed him less than maybe you would have expected to if somebody told you Christian Harris is going to miss the first 10 weeks of the season. Like Henry Toa bounced back year from his rookie season. Obviously, you signed Azeez Al-Shaair. Even the backups in those guys' absences have been serviceable. So, like, nobody's just been like, man, you really need to get Christian Harris back out there because the linebackers have played decent. But that's let them off the hook a little bit because it still would be pretty good to have some clear communication on it.
Yeah, text line coming in. He'll be an all caps. Harris will be back after the bye. I want somebody of importance to say that. I want to hear somebody of importance.
Not that the text line's not important. The 5-hour energy fan line, that is.
I'm talking to what it's not in this case. I need to give me Nick. Give me Hannah. Give me Cal. Give me D'Amico. I need somebody because that I don't hear that. I just mum's the word. Ain't nothing. Mum's the word here. All right, the injury report is officially out, and there is something. Usually I'm the one that's concerned or worried. There's something that's got Brandon Scott a little shook. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Clint Sterner's out today. Brandon Scott's in. Catch all his work, sportsradio610.com. He's also on In the Loop every Tuesday, 11 o'clock. And catch him at Adams Bowl Lane, H-Town Hoops, as the Rockets are 4-3 to start early. Got the Spurs tonight.
Yep.
So they do their thing on H-Town Hoops. You can find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. But the injury report came out, and Will Anderson Jr., who has the ankle, he came back into the game, but really wasn't playing a lot. It was a lot of Derek Barnett and D'Nico Autry. But he did not practice today with that ankle. And not a real surprise, right? Tomorrow will be the one where you really look at it. If we get back-to-back heavy padded practice days and he doesn't practice, that's the one where the concern level jumps up. But you are worried about this, huh?
I am worried about it, man, because Will Anderson, over the last, call it 3 or 4 weeks, was starting to reemerge as the Texans' best defensive player. Like, I think through the first, I don't know, call it first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, you could have made different arguments about who that was. Maybe it was Henry Toa or one of the linebackers. It could have been either one of them, Toa or Azeez Al-Shaair. Maybe the crew of interior guys, the depth that you had on the interior, you liked more. Maybe you like just the committee of defensive players that they had. Like, just as a unit, you like how they were playing, but didn't have a bona fide, hey, this is their best defensive player. But Will Anderson did not win AFC Defensive Player of the Month and then, you know, of the week before that by accident. This is a guy who went out there and got 5 sacks in a 3-week span or something like that, who was playing with his hair on fire, as he's known to do. And I think that this is an issue for them. He, like, right as Will Anderson is reemerging as their best defensive player, right as he is starting to find his groove, he comes up with this ankle injury, which, by the way, we've seen that before. We've seen him be limited with an ankle before. So maybe it's because I feel like I've seen the movie before that I'm worried about it. Maybe it's because of Will Anderson's style of play, both like the, you know, the fact that he's kind of a bull rushing, like just get off type of guy, and that motor. So it's not like he knows to turn it down or to take some plays off. He doesn't really have that in him either. So I'm worried about a dude either missing time, obviously would be an issue, or even being limited by the ankle if he's out there. Like, even if he practices and he plays, I'm worried about how effective Will Anderson is going to be with a gimpy ankle. It concerns me because this is their best defensive player.
And I that's the part, is like whether he's got to miss some time or not. Like, and these ankle things, these are depending on, is it a high ankle sprain? Like, you know, depending on this thing, these are tough things. Obviously, I don't think it's a high ankle sprain because we see Micah Parsons, who's, you know, he has been on the shelf. But it is something that could be an issue throughout the season and prevent him to be his best. And I don't think that you say that enough. Will Anderson is this team's best defensive player. Will Anderson over Danielle Hunter, who maybe you thought it might be. Alshire's been injured. I didn't think he would be the best. Derek Stingley, he's not to that point right now. This is your best defensive player. If you need a play to be made, he has been the guy to do that. 7.5 sacks. And to be honest, if you're going to be a team that is led by your defense, you need to be firing, and you need your best player to be firing, right? And it changes the game if your best defensive player is hampered and not, like, is he giving you, what was he? It felt like he was at about 70%.
Yeah.
When he was coming back in for the Jets in that Jets game when he tried to give it a go.
Yeah, at best.
Right, and you know, so, and to the point you made, how he works.
Right. Because I don't want to really hear much about pain tolerance. This is not an issue of us questioning his toughness or whether he can tolerate pain. I'm sure he's plenty tough. I'm sure he can tolerate pain. But how does that impact you? Like, you can tolerate the pain well enough to go out there and play, but if your ankle does not let you get off the same way that you used to, I mean, that is just the result of the injury. So I am concerned, man. You absolutely need the best of Will Anderson. And this is to a point that you were making earlier about the quarterbacks that they're about to face. I feel like the Texans in a lot of ways have been bailed out by the quality of quarterback, or lack thereof, quality of quarterback play that they've been facing. But that's about to change very quickly here, very soon here. Probably starting, I would say, hell, maybe even starting, you could argue, they just played Aaron Rodgers and he looked probably as good as he's looked. But really starting with this Sunday night game against the Detroit Lions,
well,
with
Jared
Goff. They
slip into that Cooper Rush, though.
Oh, yeah, that is true. They were failing Cooper Rush, not to get off on a tangent, but Cooper Rush dropped a couple of dimes that the Cowboys just could not make nothing happen with.
You're ready to go, Cooper.
I'm ready to go to Cowboys.
Were you locked in on that Falcons-Cowboys game?
Come on, man. You know me, man.
I'd move to red zone. I'd move to the Broncos.
I was locked in.
I tried to go to the Broncos-Ravens, then that became an ass-kicking, then I moved on to red zone.
Yeah, see,
you,
man.
You were hanging in on the Cowboys and the Falcons after Dak went out?
Yeah, my people are from the country, man. They're from rural Texas.
At first,
So those are Cowboys people.
At first, I thought, like, it was they just wanted to get Dak out. Until I saw
that. I did, too.
He's standing over there with his helmet on.
Yeah. He still kind of looked like he could go back in. Yeah.
I said, is he getting benched right now?
Yeah.
Then I saw the highlight, and they, clearly you saw something.
Yeah.
Something.
Definitely something. Yeah. But the point being, though, they're about to face Cooper Rush notwithstanding.
Never know what Trevor's going to show up because he had opportunities.
But he's got to be, he does have ability. That's the one thing we can't take away from him. Like, he's been, I think, a huge disappointment, especially for their fans. But he's got ability. I just think that with the quality of quarterback and the quality of teams that they're going to be facing, you need your best defensive player, especially if said defensive player is the dude that gets after the quarterback.
Like, you got to fight the fire with fire. Yeah. Good quarterbacks, all right, where's my potential all-pro defensive end, my defensive rookie of the year defensive end, the AFC defensive player of the month, edge rusher? Yeah, man, it is horrible timing, I think.
To really start to get nervous is tomorrow. If he shows up as a did not practice tomorrow. By the way, there are a lot of DMPs on here. We'll discuss a little bit later on 5 o'clock fire. There are a lot of DMPs on this sucker. But if he doesn't show to practice and he's off again tomorrow, that will be an interesting one to watch, because that lowers his chances of playing on Sunday night against the best offensive line in football, by the way, also.
This is also
Detroit Lions.
This is also not a normal Wednesday injury report. Normally the Wednesday injury report is only coming 2 or 3 days after game day. This damn near a week after game day. So everybody is either limited or not participating at all. I'm worried about, because they ain't played in a week.
Well, there's one of them I'm not.
Who?
That one. The hell. Hell's going on.
They're all fixable.
Routine.
All right. You worried about this division at all? Anybody worried about this division? Got any concerns, any nerves about this division? Got a 2-game lead, really 3 over the Colts. Anybody worried? They've benched Anthony Richardson. Many people believe they got a better shot, the Colts, to winning games. Anybody worried about this division? We'll discuss that.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Put ourselves in a decent position, have 8 games in front of us here, so it's 1 week at a time, but the big thing is just trying to play our best football each week. Had our moments really in all 3 phases, done some good things, but we're only guaranteed the next opportunity in front of us, so it's going to take really good football, and as you get later into the year, you want to be playing your best football, so try to improve in some of the areas where we maybe struggle a little bit, try to build on some of the things that we've done well. That's what the focus is.
All right, that was General Manager Nicholas Caserio. Talking about they put themselves in a good position.
Fellas, good to be here.
You worried about anybody, any concern about this division? Now, we do know the Jags were 8-3 before they just absolutely just took a dump in the middle of the entire season. They left here after beating the Texans, going 8-3 and missed the playoffs. Lost the division, missed the playoffs. Any concern for you? And this, right, we would all agree, this has to be the lowest that Texans fans have felt about the Texans in the DeMeco era, right?
Yeah, outside of the first game, which we gave them a pass for because it was the first game.
Yeah, so there was no low feeling like this. This is a good expectation.
I would say there was no feeling at that point. So, yeah, fair enough. But I would go even in the other direction. Not only am I not worried about the division, I would go further and say the fact that they exist in this division is like the saving grace for me. It is where hope lies within the Texans, because I fully expect them to win their division, okay? And I do think that they are among the better teams in the AFC. But also, they are the weakest division leader to me right now. If we're just going to stick with the AFC for now, they are the weakest division leader.
Pittsburgh, Buffalo.
Yeah, the weakest.
Kansas City.
Yeah. weaker than both than all three of those. So they would I would have them fourth, even though they beat
Buffalo.
They beat Buffalo head to head convincingly, and I think they got a better quarterback situation than Pittsburgh. I'll give them that. But overall, team wise, and if you just take the season in its totality, it's hard to make an argument in the Texans' favor over Buffalo, other than that head to head. Hard to make an argument in their favor over Buffalo or Pittsburgh. So I got them fourth. I got them last among.
We don't like that.
I think I got them last among the divisions, I would say. But then also, even within those divisions, you got at least another team that's like the North, for example. I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are better than the Texans right now. That's two teams from that division. So what I'm saying is they benefit from being in this slop. I am not only am I not worried about the division, I think they should be thanking their lucky stars that this is who they play with. This is who crew is because they look good.
Now, listen, the Colts, they got Buffalo next. But after that, like it really is a much easier schedule than what the Texans have. Rather, I mean, you could even lean towards the space of being much weaker.
But they suck.
But yes.
So that's the issue.
They are in games. We like suck. To me, had they found a way to win that game that Sam Darnold tried to give to them repeatedly Sunday night, because I think that their chances of winning with Joe Flacco were better for this team.
Yeah,
and if they've decided to go with Joe Flacco, I think their chances of winning are better with Joe Flacco. Had they won that game against the Vikings, I could see the Texans having some problems, because it'd be technically one game back, but two, like, they got to finish ahead of them. And the Texans have the Lions, the Dolphins, and the Ravens at home, and then they got to play.
Oh my!
The Cowboys and the Chiefs and the Jags and you know the Titans twice, but they got. But I mean, they're the Titans. I mean the Lions, the Dolphins with Tua. They're a bit different, but yep. The Lions, Ravens, Chiefs, like those are really really difficult games. And then we've seen them play close with virtually everybody except for the Patriots.
Yeah, look, the Texans.
I think they're in good shape now that the Colts lost that game to the Vikings. I think they're in good shape because I think they're going to lose to Buffalo again.
I will qualify with this. They definitely, like, if they're going to play like this, like we've been watching, then all bets are off. Like, I am saying this, assuming that they're going to make some improvements, maybe giving them the benefit of the doubt that they haven't necessarily earned. That could be me just being a little bit more optimistic than I should be. But I am assuming that things are going to get a little bit better. If they don't, then, yeah, I'm just worried overall. Division, otherwise, whatever. Like, assuming that they are going to make some adjustments and some improvements, they should be better. But you tell me if this is an oversimplification.
By the way, I think they finished 4-4. That gets them to 10. I think that wins the division.
Yeah.
I think they got the Titans in there twice. I think that's doable.
So the Colts, I think we can agree, is probably the second best team in this division right now, a team that you've already beaten twice. Tell me if this is an oversimplification. I can't be scared of the Colts because they're just doing the same Joe Flacco thing that the Browns did last year, except they not as good as the Browns roster was, and Joe Flacco is now a year older than he was last year. And we saw how that movie ended.
All facts.
So like,
the only thing is just their schedule.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's,
but to mitigate that,
they don't have the defense.
They're not as good. Yes.
Yeah.
So. I mean,
but it's weird.
But it's by default, though. It ain't no credit to the Texans that I'm not worried about the division. It's more of an indictment of who is in the division.
Text line coming through. As I said, are you worried about the division? I'm not worried about the division because for some reason I think they feel superior to the division themselves, but have big concerns outside of the division. No concern on the division, just reality is we aren't beating the Chiefs or the Lions.
Yeah, I am concerned. I am more concerned. This is me getting ahead of myself. I am more concerned about the divisional round. The round of the playoffs that the Texans can't seem to move past. This felt like run going into the season.
Do you hold on real quick? You feel good about it? The wild card round? I'm just saying, do you know what the wild card matchup would be right now?
You know the answer to that.
Look, no.
It would be the Ravens coming into Houston.
To answer your question, no. I was just using that as a play on words. No, I do not necessarily feel good about the wild card round. But to me, their ceiling right now does feel like what the ceiling has always been, which is the divisional round. So that's what I'm worried about.
Where do you have them right now? Because you said they're the weakest. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can join too. You said they're the weakest team in the of the division leaders, and you said you'd take two from the North. Where do you see the Texans right now in the AFC?
No better than fourth, no worse than fifth. Like, to me, the fourth and fifth best teams in the AFC are, and you can decide which combination, which team you like better. We're on a station in Houston where most people are Texans fans, so it'll probably be the Texans. But they are, and this is disappointing, I'm going to be honest, they are more Chargers than Chiefs. Does that make sense? They're
closer to the Chargers.
They're closer to the Chargers than the Chiefs. I think one of those two teams, either the Texans or the Chargers, is the fourth or fifth best team. And you can flip-flop them however you want. But to me, for my money right now, the best teams in the AFC are Kansas City, Buffalo, the Ravens, and the Steelers. And Houston is behind all four of them.
You just made the list!
That's where they are right now. They're behind all four of them, and I'm not 100% sure that they're ahead of the Chargers. That's just the tier I'm going to put them in, and if you want to put them ahead, I'm not going to argue to death about it. But if you want to put the Chargers ahead of them, I won't argue to death about that either. They are somewhere around the fourth or fifth best team in the AFC right now. Could that change? Like, for example, Ron, they go out there and handle business against the Lions. You could change that narrative real quick. Like, yeah. I could come and sing a different tune next week. Like, oh, wait a minute, though. They did this against a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But based off of how they're playing football right now, I don't see how I could have them higher than fourth.
Yeah, the playoff shake right now, the four division leaders, the Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Texans, and then Baltimore, Chargers, Broncos. That would be the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
The Colts and then the Bengals. The Bengals win tomorrow over the Ravens. That's a different team. Like that's a team that had Baltimore and Kansas City, arguably the two best teams in the conference, both on the ropes.
Yeah.
In games and shit, but they just have a hard time beating good teams right now. Like if you go look at the Bengals, what are they, 4-5? You look at their wins, they're all against bad teams. All of their losses are against teams that are decent, except for the Patriots, which they had that weird performance.
And the only, I would say, good team that the Texans have beaten are the Bills. And you can't take that away from them. They beat the Bills, handled the business. But other than that, the good teams that they've played, the Minnesotas of the world, okay, the Green Bay Packers of the world, if things don't go, so that whole NFC North division, right? Now, they beat the Chicago Bears, but that's an average team. Not a bad team, not a good team, an average team. So, yeah, the Texans
no
got
no strain, no gain.
Got a similar issue here.
The scary thing about the Texans is, like, in my mind, I believe they're better than the Chargers. In my mind, I look player for guy, I think they're better than the Steelers. But they can lose to anybody with that offensive line. And their protection issues, and what it takes away.
Yeah, on paper,
like the Jets game, right? They, honest to God, they should have lost handily.
Oh
they,
yeah,
I mean, like that guy just dropped the ball before he stepped in.
Yeah, that was
28-10. Yep. It should have been with 40 seconds left.
On paper, I could put the Texans at two. I could put them behind the Chiefs, and then say that their roster on paper, if we played the games on paper, that they take a backseat to no one except the Chiefs. But it ain't on paper. We've been watching these games for 9 weeks now. And this is where they are. This is where I feel like they are. I'm not worried about the division. I am worried about the ceiling of this team feeling like, hey, this is a team that could compete for an AFC championship. I don't feel that way 10 weeks into it the way I expected to when we got into the season.
Texas added offensive lineman.
How about that on a Wednesday?
I got him as Zachary Thomas, but Tyler said in my ear, Cam Thomas. Is it a nickname? I got Zachary Thomas, 6'5", 300, former fifth-round pick of the Bears out of San Diego State. They claim him off waivers from the Patriots.
You see, y'all said that they wasn't making moves. Y'all said
locked
that they,
and
y'all,
loaded,
y'all
baby.
Said they wasn't trying.
They man, told us.
Why didn't you tell me that ahead of the segment, Ron? I would have lived with that.
They're all fixable.
I would have been like, nah, I ain't worried about this division. Zach Thomas is on the way to say today.
Not that, and by the way, not that Zach Thomas, the linebacker.
Oh.
With the straight jaw.
Wait, who would? So, not,
Zachary Thomas. You think I'm going to look it up right now.
Former Patriot.
I'm gonna look up YouTube to see if Zachary Thomas has a highlight package.
Big old country white fella.
See if he has. What position does he play? Is he a tackle?
He's a tackle.
Maybe he can kick inside.
I feel like he's got way too generic of a name and not enough of a distinctive game for you to find on YouTube.
Got two first names, too.
Oh, I got him.
Zach Thomas.
You got a first thing that popped up was 54, Zach Thomas, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That's not.
Oh, I got him circled up. Ooh, boy, he looks promising. Ooh, what a hit that was against Fresno State.
Sneaky, agile.
Good hairline, good beard.
Quick on his feet.
Only one video, though. Damn, I had to really break that down. Well, they add Zach Taylor. There's Zach Thomas.
Yeah,
Zachary Thomas.
Zach Taylor, that would be a huge development.
Zach Taylor, they did.
It's like, what? What are we doing?
Can we bring in Joy Taylor?
I don't think Joy's very happy. He's in a bad spot.
That would at least make us feel better.
Joy's struggling at work today.
She'll get over it.
I don't know. Injury report is out. Sure, there are a lot of guys on the list. We'll discuss that to get the see the Texans get ready for this game Sunday night. And then the first college football poll is out, and one team is in my. Is in my thoughts. No, it's not A&M, but one team is in my thoughts. We'll get to all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.